Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
All right, so we have a special segment today. We are talking with Jessica Marie Baumgartner. Jessica is a pagan mother of four whose children's books about love and understanding have received critical acclaim and multiple awards. She is a member of the Missouri Writers Guild and author of The Magic of Nature, Meditations and Spells to Find Your Inner Voice, which she has been on this show before to talk about that very book. And we have her back again to talk about a new book that is now available for pre-order, The Magic of Trees. So The Magic of Trees isn't just a book on tree magic. It's about drawing on the strength of forests and tree energy in order to better connect with ourselves, other people, and the world around us. So hi, Jessica. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I was telling you before we started recording that it's so cold here today.
The weather has been like in our area, you know, it goes up and down, and we were talking about that. And so I'm always trying to prepare for anything here. but it's actually warm in my area, and we're north of you. So that's kind of fun.
It's wild. But I made a nice morning of it. I made peanut butter oatmeal and I put some bread in the oven. So it made for like a nice, wholesome, cute little moment, but it doesn't change the fact that it's cold.
Got to snuggle up in there.
For sure. So your new book, The Magic of Trees, this is actually a book that you are publishing with us, Which Way Publishing. And I've been working with you on it for a while now. And so this is really exciting. People who are listening who have never kind of been a part of a book, whether you're the writer or formatter or editor, whatever your role is in it, it's always such a really strange journey of start to finish. And everyone has such different emotions through different phases of the process. So like, how are you feeling?
I'm ready. I'm at that point where I'm like, okay, we've been working on this and it's been building and building and building. And so I'm really ready to like get out there and talk to people and have fun with it. You know, that's something a lot of authors don't get to do as much now because we're so interconnected online, but a lot of events, even from 2020, are still kind of on hold. So I'm really looking forward to getting out there. The Pagan Picnic in St. Louis is going to resume this June. So I'm going to go there, and there's going to be all sorts of fun stuff where everybody can connect on a deeper level and get outside again together and do those big events where we, you know, we circle under the trees and get to be at one together again. And I really love that.
I know for me, like I always hit a wall because we spend so much time just looking for mistakes. And people listening, that takes such a mental and emotional toll to just look for mistakes. And it doesn't matter how many people look at it. I have read like HarperCollins books with typos. Like it is just, it kind of fries your brain just a little bit. But then there's this part of the book release that's my personal favorite. I love when it's all packaged and cute and ready. And now it's like, oh, we just get to talk about it. That's like my personal favorite part.
It is. It's exciting because you get to share all the work that you did. And like, you're right. The editing process, it's so grueling and it's so straining. Like, you know, half of the battle is finishing the book, but then the rest of it is getting it ready so that readers can actually read it. And like you said, you know, you'll see mainstream publishers who produce work with typos in it. I found a typo in a Stephen King book and it made me feel so good. I was like, even he did it. So
it just gives you relief. Like I was editing a book recently and it's the book is 400 pages long. And I said, okay, like on page 10, you you italicize the word Stepfordian, but then on page 387, you don't italicize. So which...
specific.
The level you have to pay attention and yeah. you have to remember those things, which is also really it's such a process. So I'm a little behind the scenes for those listening who just have no idea what it's like.
But yeah, this is the fun part. We get to enjoy the magic of trees. You know, we get to talk about it and encourage people to get outside and get back into nature or just be in it. If you're already somebody who loves to, you know, go hiking and things like that, like get out and climb a tree and whatnot, you know. Don't hurt yourself, though.
That was going to be my question for you, because we already had you on and we talked about nature and the importance of nature. So with this book, why trees out of all the things in nature?
My husband asked me that. He's like, you just did all of nature. Why are you backtracking to just trees? And I guess it's the Druid in me or the Celt, whatever you want to call it. There's always that special connection to trees that some people just have. And I wanted to spread that because we take a lot for granted in our lives, and it's not on purpose. It's not out of malice. It's just because, you know, everything's so busy and there's so much technology and there's pressure everywhere, no matter what you're doing for a living or what you're doing with yourself creatively, or in your family life. And so remembering to slow down and be like the trees is kind of this metaphor for my life, you know, to remember, hey, you have all of this stuff you want to do, but you have to take your time and really appreciate it as you go and kind of sway with the storms when they hit and just keep growing. And that's something that I really wanted to convey in this book, and I hope I did. And I'm excited to really spread that and give more instruction on how to do that if you're not sure how to incorporate that into your life.
So we actually just, the first week of the podcast, our first week back from winter break, we did a series on planning, right? So we did like Monday, it was how to recover from burnout. Tuesday, it was how to correctly goal set. And then we had Friday, which was the, you know what, like we need to do away with this idea that we have to constantly be bettering ourselves and improving ourselves. So how do you just live life more intentionally? And one of our points was how there's paper after paper after paper that says being outside and being in nature is just better for you, period. It's better cognitively and stress-wise and all of that. But somehow our world has gotten just more indoors. So I know for me, I try to go into the woods like once every few months for like a few days. But with this book, how do you think someone who is maybe struggling to get outside, maybe they have like 3.5 kids and like, you know, they're just like running ragged. Like, how can someone who is just really struggling to not only make time for themselves, but like in nature, like how can they use this book to help encourage themselves to get outside?
Oh yeah, I totally relate to that because I have so many kids and there's so much always going on. So it's easy to fall back and just kind of get stuck in a routine or stuck in a rut where, you know, you don't have time to really appreciate or enjoy or even just get outside. And you feel like you're closed off, you know, you'll start to feel like mentally locked in a closet, like you're like stuck. There are multiple things that I like to do to try and kind of get out of that funk and to prevent it. But one of the best things I could say to people who are really struggling with it, because I get it, I really get it. One of my favorite things to do, you know, if I've been sick and I can't get outside or if we're dealing with scheduling issues and I'm having to do this, that, and the other, is just sitting by the window and looking outside and finding a tree that's a good focal point. I know that sounds really silly because it's like, well, maybe it doesn't, but you look outside and just being able to take a couple of deep breaths and take even just 1 minute, 1 minute of your day to look outside and really just connect with the growth and strength and power that is standing before you. And to use that as an inspiration to remind yourself that you have all of that within yourself. Those are the kinds of things that I try to really reach out for. And in the book, I talk about how, and I have meditations and rituals and spells for it too, where if you're stuck in an office, or if you're working in a warehouse, or if you're working, you know, on fast food or something, and you're in one of those grueling jobs where you're not connecting with nature, if you can, even on your lunch break, step outside for 5 minutes and just take a deep breath and really, you know, I think there's one tree at one of the companies that I write for. And so when I go in there, that tree is my focal point when I start getting stressed out. And having that and being conscious and trying to incorporate that, you know, if you try to do it every day and you only do it once a week, then that's still improvement, or that's still something that's going to give you an anchor to help you enjoy life, regardless of whether or not you're trying to improve yourself or if you're just looking to, you know, keep the clutter out of your head.
Yeah, I think there's something really, you know, of course, magical, obviously, like witches love trees, but I think
we do.
I think there's something really healing. It was November. I got really, really sick. Like that first time, like, so, you know, like, you know, they say like, oh, people who are maybe chronically ill or the elderly don't always really come back from, you know, maybe having the flu or stuff like that. And this, whatever this was, hit me so hard physically. It was the first time I was like, oh, I see what they're saying when they say that. Like, I see how people would struggle with this. And I had already booked like 3 nights in a national forest that I go to. And I was like, I'm not giving that up. I was like, I have to go. So maybe not the smartest thing in the world, but I drove myself like half sick to this little cabin in the woods, and being able to sleep with the window open and having fresh air on your face when you feel so horrible was like nothing I could ever explain. And like, it's wild that, I mean, it's not, because it makes all the sense in the world, but how healing like nature is. And I know in your book, you have so many spells, meditations, and rituals just for healing. Yeah, just for healing. And another thing I really like is that your book breaks down from childhood all the way to like end of life, and not just for the tree, but for ourselves. And so how did you approach that when it comes to making the trees a cycle of life kind of relate to our cycle of life?
Well, that connecting with nature, it's kind of, you know, it's a part of life, whether you recognize it or not. And I was raised to believe that trees are healing. You know, my grandmother, if somebody was sick, she's like, go sit outside. That was her advice. And it worked for me a lot. And my mom, you know, incorporated that with us too. And so, like you said, you know, you weren't sure if it was a good idea, but you went and you felt better. As we get older, it is harder to heal. Our bodies don't snap back as well as they used to. And so I noticed a lot of pagan books, they seem to be geared toward younger readers. And I love all of the great introductory content out there, but I wanted to kind of step it up and reach out to different levels, and especially older witches too, who might have been at this for decades and decades and just haven't gotten into that element of it, or somebody who might have found their path later in life. And so being able to write about that, I really wanted to be as organic and real about it as possible. So I had to kind of dig down, and I was like, you know, I'm going to be 40 soon, and I feel great, but things don't heal like they used to. I have to do yoga if I don't want to be, you know, hunched over all the time and in pain. And it takes a lot more consciousness to meditate and get your body in the shape that it needs to be in. The trees, I really feel like that's the perfect metaphor. It's the perfect medicine too, because we see trees that get illnesses. Trees get diseases. Trees get injured. And I write about that in the book. You know, I grew up with, there was the lightning, the bacon tree is what I called it, because it was a river birch where the bark peels and it looks like paper. And I think it's river birch. I'm like, I wrote it down. I know it's in the book. But it had been, we had one by this creek in a down the street from my apartment complex. And the kids always used to like going there because it had been struck by lightning like 9 or 10 times, I think, maybe 8 or 9. But it had these grooves that were just amazing. You could see where the lightning had struck it multiple times. And I think it got struck once or twice when I was a kid too. And everybody went out to see it and it was like electrically charged. And it was this magical place for me. And it's funny because the field that it was in next to the creek was very barren and the tree looked like it was just had been through hell, but it gave me such a sense of well-being because I looked at it and I was like, man, they say lightning doesn't strike twice and it really does, but this tree is still standing. Like it was still there. And I look at that and I'm just like, you can survive anything if you're I guess I believe in fate too, but if you really try and you're really, really ready, you can get through anything. And so I have spells in the book about, you know, helping to heal trees, but I also wanted to incorporate how you use that energy to heal yourself too, because that resilience is so important to be successful in life and to enjoy it to the fullest, even if you're sick or you have a chronic illness, or if you know you have a disability or something like that. There's always some way that you can branch out and, you know, reach for the sky, not to be too poetic, too flowery.
It's actually funny. I've been doing a lot of readings lately, and in my deck, you know, there's a tree card, and that's exactly what the tree represents. It like represents being stable and strong and grounded and withstanding the storm. And it's like, it really is the utmost power card, like in, you know, in the deck. So when you explain it and what you're saying is exactly like what that card means, I think it's really funny.
It's very poignant.
So let's say we have someone listening and maybe they feel pretty content with like their relationship with nature, or like they go out as much as they feel they need to, which yeah. I think we all know people who are like, I go out enough. how do you think this book and the spells and the rituals in it can maybe help people on their within their magical practice?
I think it offers support. You know, it's so funny because the human condition, a lot of people just want to know that they're not alone, or that, you know, they're not. It's so funny because like sometimes you feel great to be the weirdo, and sometimes you're like, why am I the only person walking through this, you know, state park? Where is everybody? Where are all the people? And so when you read a book like this, you get that connection again, where you kind of have hope that, oh, well, you know, nature is a big part of other people's lives. I just don't always see it, you know, especially if you're living in like a city and you might not, you know, be able to connect with people on a different level. I don't know how to describe it. I guess what I'm trying to say is we get in that hustle and bustle when it comes to communications. And so sitting down with a book like this, it kind of slows you down and makes you look around and go, oh, well, I'm already doing this. And it empowers you to keep, you know, appreciating what you're doing. And maybe encourage others to do it too. You know, be like, hey, I'm looking at this and I know I love nature and I know you want to get out more. Maybe this will help you.
Just something I also think it really helps with is, so for almost every spell or ritual you have with it, like, you know, best done maybe during Yule or the waning moon or the full moon or Samhain or Beltane or what, you know, and I think so often, you know, because we have, you know, listeners who write in and they're really, really busy, but like they feel like they really should do something for the full moon. Or let's say like I talk to people from the podcast, like one-on-one, who were like, I really want to form a group, but like, I don't know what to do. You know? And so what I also like about how the book is structured and how it, you know, does say like, you know, this is best done during this time or this time or this time. If you have a witch who's like listening, who does feel like they have that hustle and bustle, who feels like they're either at work or making dinner or putting a kid to bed. And they're like, I just want to do something. Like, I like the idea that they could open the book and be like, okay, well, Beltane's coming. Well, this is good for Beltane. And you know what? I have a tree in my yard. I like the idea that it's simple too. So like there isn't, well, of course, like rituals vary from super simple to more complex. Like for the most part, a lot of what's in the book is very simple, even if it's just a meditation. Like, you know, they put their child to bed at 8 p.m. and they're like, oh my God, I just found 30 minutes. I don't know how it happened, but I have 30 minutes. I want to feel more connected and I want to feel more magical and I want to do something. I like the idea that they can just like open the book and be like, well, there's a tree in the backyard. There's a tree in the side yard. And here's a meditation where I don't need anything. And I like the simplicity, especially in today's world. Like we're saying, I loved the idea of everyone having hustle culture like a few years ago, but it has ruined us.
It has drawbacks for sure. I mean, there's a way to balance it, but yeah, it can be overwhelming. I'll say that.
I think my motto that I've been saying for like, it's literally like the mid-January, and I have said at least 3 times on this podcast, cancel like hustle culture and let's go back to hug culture, because I feel like that's what 2023 is about. 2023 is about, let's just all sit down.
Yeah, the hustle, it sounds like fun, and we romanticize everything. I don't know why. Like, maybe that's just our culture. We like to romanticize this, that, and the other, and the hustle has become romanticized. And I'm like, I don't know that hustle was ever meant to be this glamorous thing. Like, everybody wants to thrive, and we all want to survive, but we don't need to hustle. What we need to do is find meaning and purpose and spread that and enjoy it. And it's really funny because part of the reason why a lot of the meditations I put in there were simple is because I find it easier to be more devout when you don't have all these material items that you have to go out and buy. Oh, I don't need to buy this crystal. I don't have to buy this incense. I don't have to burn this oil. I love all of that stuff in its time. You know, when you're doing a big ritual and you really want to take your time with it and pull all of the elements in different ways, it has its place. But we have become so obsessed with like consumerism that I fear that some people, you know, we go to our spiritual shops and we're just ready to buy stuff. I'm like, that's not for me. You know, I have to recognize it in myself and go, well, I'm not here just to buy something. I'm here to see if something speaks to me, if it calls to me, if it tells me that I need this in my life. And when you go into a store and you have that, you can walk out without buying anything and feel good about yourself still. And there are times where you will find something that does call to you and that you use in ritual, and it's very helpful. Most of the materials that I wanted to put in the simpler practices, you can find in nature. You know, I have a lot of find a stick or bundle a stick or get a basket of twigs. And it's because that's something that I've incorporated into my life to make sure that I don't miss ritual. I have struggled with making sure that we do our full moon rituals every month because we also have, you know, the Sabbaths too. And so that can be a hard balance, but just being able to do everyday meditations is something that I'm always trying to focus on, even if it's just sitting by the window and looking out at the trees in my front yard and letting them remind me, okay, you are here, and it doesn't matter if you don't get everything on your to-do list done. You are here for a reason, and just enjoy it. Take your time.
So So one thing I also really like about your book is that it really is child friendly, because it is stuff like go find sticks and go find some leaves. Like, it really does seem something like that, like the book just seems like it works for everybody. It works for people who just want to do things on their own, but also if you kind of have no other option but to include your children, by choice or not by choice, you know, everyone's lives are very different, that you can still do these things and still have a magical practice, but you don't have to get a babysitter or, you know, get the 11-year-old to watch the 3-year-old so you can just go outside for 2 minutes. So I like that it's kid friendly as well. Like if you, you know, wanted to do that. So was that something that was on purpose?
Absolutely. That's a big part of my life. I have 4 kids and they range from ages 2 to 12. My 12-year-old's going to be 13 soon. And she's actually watching them while we're doing this podcast. But I try to incorporate things that they can do in ritual or when we're doing our meditations so that they are raised with a spiritual sense of self. And it's because I feel like leading by example is the best way to help children learn and grow. And I look at how many pagans are having families now. You know, it wasn't super common in the past. I mean, Sibelik had kids, but she didn't talk about them very often. And incorporating them into ritual wasn't something that was very well known or widely written about. And so I'm at this point where I have this big family and these events, like they're my coven now, you know, we go outside and we do all of these wonderful things. And there are things that anybody can do with their kids, you know, even if you're not a pagan and you just want to explore a more spiritual side of connecting with nature, you can do that. And it's something that was developed, you know, over the past decade or so, because I have my daughter and she kind of sparked that. She was, you know, I guess my my nice little test subject, because she was so interested and it was so important to her to be a part of that part of my life. And I don't think that we should have to separate it out. So having little things for kids to do or things that parents can do with their kids and things that anybody can enjoy at any age level is something so universal and so loving that I really feel like it's something that I hope more people will do. And I have joined, you know, groups in the past where they were kid friendly and you could go and be part of a ritual, but there wasn't as much for the kids to do. So being able to expand on that and really test my faith and talk to the gods and listen to the trees and go, well, this is something that just makes sense. It just makes sense. And adding it, that's a wonderful practice that anybody can do.
So I think one of my last questions for you is, out of all the meditations and spells and rituals in the book, do you have any that are kind of like a go-to favorites?
Always. of course, there's the one where you sit by the window and you look out at the trees and you envision their growth and their energy and you kind of take that into yourself. Also, there's one that I love to do frequently and I haven't recently. And so I'm probably going to get off this podcast and take the kids out and we're going to go do it. But where you just walk up to a favorite tree, whether it's in your yard or in a park, and you put your hands, you know, your palms on the bark and you look up. I mean, it sounds so childish and silly, but to some people, maybe not to others, but just that view, that angle is so amazing. And we don't see it enough. We don't look up from that angle where you're standing directly under a tree right before the bark and you feel its life. You feel that energy. And it's such a peaceful feeling to be able to take a few minutes and just glance up and see those limbs from that direct bottom angle and see how tall trees really are. Because when you look at them from afar, they don't seem, I mean, they can seem very grand, but sometimes we don't really think of the scale of how grand they truly are. And it makes me think of when my toddler is standing at my feet, putting his hands on my knees, looking up at me, talking to me. And those little connections, those little details, they really ground us, but they also help us to spiritually thrive. So it's funny because it makes you reach for the stars while you're also standing on the ground. And that is absolutely my favorite meditation. And it's so simple. It's so simple. That's the best part of it.
So is there anything else that you wanted to touch on that we haven't touched on?
Oh, goodness. I'm drawing a blank now because my dog's out in the back barking. I think that what I really just want to end with is making sure that when you go out and you're in nature, that you're as respectful as possible. I do have to say, recently when I go out, I see a little bit of trash here and there, or people are blaring music, and I understand that music is very important to a lot of people, or you might drop something on the trail. But if you can be a little more conscious of, oh, hey, I've got this in my pocket, make sure it doesn't fall out, or maybe the people around me just want to listen to the birds. And it's hard to do, to be in your own head and listen to the music of nature. But I have a chapter called The Music of Trees, or I'm not sure if we titled it that, did we? But it is about connecting with those musical aspects of being in the forest and listening to the wind in the trees and how the trees rattle each other and how the birds and the animals kind of add their own symphony all together, and how embracing that and letting all of the other music, you know, get the technical stuff, the modern technology, leave it behind for a little bit. There's nothing wrong, you know, with listening to your music on your phone or anything like that. But sometimes it's really amazing to just go out in nature, just yourself or your family, and just listen and hear what the trees and what nature is telling you.
I think that is a very good reminder because, yeah, like, you know, you go out in nature for a reason, and that reason is not to litter and be disrespectful. For sure. For those who don't know, Jessica is also one of our volunteers who helps with the annual Christmas variety show, which it is not as easy to get volunteers for that as you would think it is.
It's so fun. I don't know why. It's so fun. I love it.
Yes, and I really love it's. Yeah, it's really important to me because I know not everyone has people to be around, like, you know, on that right. day. So the fact we always do it, it just it makes me so happy. But yeah, we're very grateful that you you know, give us your time, you know, for that. But you can grab a copy of The Magic of Trees, which is now available for pre-order on Amazon. And where can people find you?
I have my own website. It's jessicamariebaumgartner.com. I am on Twitter. I do a lot of alternate media too. Like, I'm on Tumblr. I love Tumblr. It's a great place for witches. I like Minds just because there's a lot of different people on there. And of course, I'm on Goodreads, and I have my own Amazon author page. But everything is on the website for sure.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Have a great one.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.